We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council meeting to order on April 28, 2025 at 6 p.m. This is a joint session with this University City Green Practices Commission. Prior to turning the agenda over to the city manager, are there any changes to the agenda thus far this evening? Hearing none. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, the Green Practice Commission requested a joint meeting with the Mayor and Council to review a couple of items with you. And I will introduce our Dr. Wagner, who works, is the liaison with this commission. Dr. Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. I do want to add that the members of the Green Practices Commission that are here this evening are Nicole Baumgarten, Suzanne Schumer, I'm sorry, Ken Slickman. I'm butchering the names, aren't I? My apologies. Tim Schmaltz and Chair Connie Mueller. And Connie is going to briefly let you know what we're going to be talking about this evening. So, Connie.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Connie Mueller, and I just want to introduce Nicole Baumgarten. She will be speaking on the topic of carbon assessment.
Hey, everyone. I'm Commissioner Baumgarten. First of all, thank you for asking the commission to advise on the carbon assessment presented by Trivers and IMEG. We hope that we can continue to serve and assist the city in any way that we can on matters like this moving forward. Trivers and IMEG both have been responsive and professional in their communication with us. They've attended at least two official meetings between council and Green Practices. So we thank them for that. And we'd like to recognize also that they have done great work with the city in the past. After reviewing the proposal, we would like to recommend not moving forward with it at this time for several reasons. So the first reason and foremost is because what is offered in the Trivers proposal has a high cost associated with it and many expensive add-ons. For something of this cost, it's standard practice to obtain a minimum of three bids, and the commission would like to recommend the council do this at this time. Before doing so, we think that the city should first understand and identify the goals of the assessment and what the desired outcomes would be for the carbon assessment in general. This would allow the city to better determine if the proposed scope includes all the services that are needed, what additional services may be desired, and if there's any services offered that are not going to be useful to the city. Trivers recommends that we use their proprietary software, and the commission feels that the Energy Star Portfolio Manager would be a better primary database instead. This is a free software, and it would allow the city to own and control the account, which means that the data could be updated and maintained by internal staff, alternative future contractors, interns, et cetera. Furthermore, Energy Star offers many tools and insights for free. And if the city needed any additional information that it wasn't able to provide, the data is able to be exported and presented to a third party. If the city were to hire a sustainability officer, this officer would be able to update the portfolio without the need to contract with a third party. The commission would be able to set up and populate the data in Energy Star. We're qualified to do so, and we're experienced with the software. The previous greenhouse gas assessment was performed by the commission as well. Finally, there is a concern that there could be a conflict of interest, as Trivers has worked on these buildings in the past, and if they are to measure and validate any of that information, it could present a conflict. We recommend that there be a third party that only represents the interests of the city and its residents. So thank you all for your time on this. I'm happy to answer any questions that I can, and if I can't, we'll take them down and provide any answers later.
Are there questions from members of council of Ms. Baumgarten or of the Green Practices Commission? Mr. McMahon.
Just real briefly. So with the, and tell me if my memory is wrong, but my memory was that the idea for the carbon assessment came through the Green Practices Commission, then to us, and then did we reach out to Trivers, or did I, and maybe I'm wrong on that. And it was, we jumped the gun and then you guys said, hey, let us look at that. Was that how?
Jump the gun or not. Maybe John can our council member Teeman can speak more to this. I believe it was presented to the city first and then he involved the commission to advise.
Okay. Cause I was just thinking back to the goals that we'd want to develop. If we're going to rebid this and do that, then that would be something I think we should talk to you folks about so that we don't get in a position where then we create goals on our own. And then you say, well, I think we should tweak those a bit. That was just, I wanted to make sure that the process doesn't become a back and forth if we can streamline it to make more sense. That's all I was getting.
I think the commission absolutely agrees with you that if we can get on board with helping to develop those goals, and then we could develop the goals of the assessment in line with those goals of the city. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Are there other questions for members of council? And by the way, is there more to the, are we having more? Okay. There's this and then that, right?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. Okay. So on this particular portion that we're talking about, I get the idea of the three bids, but as I recall, that's kind of already, that train's already left the station. I mean, I realize it may be able to come back around, but is this process that you are asking us to undertake now going to slow down the work that we've already got going?
I don't see how it could. I would be interested to know more about what particular work you're talking about, just to better answer that question.
Well, I'm just saying that unless I'm missing it, this is all part of the construction project that we have going on. Am I off based on this completely, or is this all
separate? My understanding is it's separate.
Separate. Thank you. Okay.
Honorable Mayor, included in our work plan is the study of greenhouse gas inventory, which is, I think, what we're proposing here. That is scheduled to start in July, be headed by Deputy City Manager Brooke Sharp. We wanted to advance that project, and in trying to do so, we went to Trivers to get them to assist us with scopes. But what I'm hearing from the Green Practice Commission is that they are comfortable with delaying this until we can go through a more comprehensive process that would include their feedback regarding the scope.
Your understanding is correct. Yes. Okay.
Thank you for that clarity. I appreciate that greatly. All right. I'm good then.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And our second topic for tonight is rooftop solar, and Tim Schmaltz will be addressing that.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for allowing us to come and present a second thing to you. The Green Practices Commission would like to propose an ordinance specifically saying all new commercial and multifamily developments within University City with a footprint of at least 5,000 square feet will generate a solar panel cost benefit analysis. They will report their findings to the Green Practices Commission, which will in turn report the findings to City Council. I'm going to talk a little bit, give you guys some background, so hopefully you sort of know where we're coming from and why we think this is something important the city should do. As far as using rooftop solar, which is different than maybe some of those large arrays you might see that next interstates when you're driving outstate, rooftop solar reduces the overall land use. Roofs were already flat. We can put flat things on flat roofs that can benefit other people in the region or even the neighborhood. The rooftop solar will also reduce the need for power lines. If you're generating power on site, you don't need to put in more power lines to move that electricity from point A to point B. And then another thing is something that's called not in my backyard, which is an issue which everybody wants to support certain projects and they're willing to put money towards those projects, but they just don't want it in their backyard. And so one of the things about using rooftop solar is if you put it on the roof of a building that's already existing, nobody can really see it. And so one of the things that the ordinance, what we're trying to present to you guys would do was reducing the sort of litigation and the people that are, we're going to come into to places like this and say, we're all for solar. We just want it somewhere else. And there's other sort of legal issues, which are a little bit out of my purview and understanding, but doing rooftop solar would get around some of that. Here's a diagram, a map that is emphasizing the deficit that Missouri itself has when it comes to electricity generation. I want to emphasize the yellow marks here that when we compare Missouri and the electricity generation in this state to other places that are in this sort of Midwest region, we can see that, you know, over across the river, that a kilowatt hour is offered to be like $15. And in Missouri, it's estimated to be $720. There's lots of reasons for that. But one of them is the fact that Missouri is having issues generating enough power to meet the needs of the people. And if we put panels on roofs, of which that's not entirely what this ordinance is about, but moving in that direction will help alleviate the actual energy deficit that we're having in the state. So those $2 amounts that are highlighted in yellow emphasize not only that there's a need for it, but there's also a cost saving that the people in Missouri would eventually come back to seeing. If we maintain the status quo with regards to what we're doing with power generation nationwide, this isn't just in Missouri, you can see all these different things that would happen in terms of additional infrastructure, in terms of additional power plants, additional power lines, more voltage lines, which everybody loves to see, especially after storms and things when they've fallen down. Transformers that would cost a lot of money and also are not the prettiest thing to see on roadsides or in neighborhoods. And also complicating that is the additional cost of the repair of poles and infrastructure that's coming towards the end of their livelihood. What does all that mean? It effectively means if we don't invest as a nation, if we don't invest in energy infrastructure, we're expecting more blackouts. As things degrade over time, we would be expecting more blackouts. And maybe not here, but certainly in California, more power lines has been meaning more wildfires. All of this, more infrastructure, more wildfires, more costs, more all of that stuff comes down to just having to spend more money. So if we were to pass an ordinance that simply states we want new construction in this city to explore what is the potential of rooftop solar, not installing solar panels, but rooftop solar, what's the results of that? Well, overall costs, if they were to pursue putting panels on their roofs, would go down. Emissions associated with power usage in that building or that neighborhood or that facility would go down. On the flip side of that, communities would become more resistant to power failures, property values, and there's a lot of studies that are associated with, there are individuals and developers that want to purchase facilities that have solar panels on their roof. So all we would be doing with this ordinance is sort of moving in that direction of learning what is the capabilities here so that the developers might make a decision as to what it is that they want to do. Just to put some things in perspective, this is a picture of a 10 kilowatt solar panel array. It costs roughly $15,000 if you were to buy it on eBay, which is not where people usually buy solar panels. But just, you know, let's look at some dollars and cents here. If we were to go ahead and put some of these things in mind, if we were to go the next step, which we're not doing, of preparing a new constructed building for solar power or solar water heating, we're talking about saving, you know, $2,500 or so from having to retrofit an existing building to take rooftop solar or rooftop solar water heating. And as you can imagine, a larger building, and as I wrote here, a three-story mixed-use building, those costs go up substantially as you have to retrofit in the various conduit and structural supports on the roofs to support, to put panels there. So what is the, you know, not everything's not all well and good. What are some of the risks? Obviously, solar panels are exposed to the weather. They can get damaged. There could be structural implications, which we would have to alleviate down the line. There are falls and injuries associated with it. There are additional costs. Not everybody buys their solar panels used off eBay, but like if you wanted to get new ones, you gotta, you know, spend some money out. There is at least a small likelihood that the government and the various rebates associated with that are gonna be pulled back. And maybe you won't be getting those renewable credits and things like that. Folks could certainly steal them. And there is a risk of, you know, if you don't do it correctly, perhaps the retrofitting increases that risk of fires associated with moving that power from the roof to the actual grid itself. This is a map that put out effectively communicates if all of the good roofs, not all roofs are good, but if all roofs had rooftop solar on it, what could the needs be met? And in Missouri, it's roughly 35 to 45%. So we could meet the electricity demands of this state if we were to maximize solar on people's roofs itself, not the big giant arrays that you might see next to Interstate 70. Closer to home. So on this map, we can see University City. The color-coded regions are ones that I made that basically have to do with the amount of electricity consumption in those regions. And I can provide you the actual numbers for these regions, but blue being the smallest amount of money per kilowatt hour per square foot of those places, and red being the worst. And if memory serves me right from this report, in that red region, the average house there was consuming over 2.5 times more than the state average in terms of dollars per kilowatt hour. One of the things, and I also have the arrows pointing to the sort of two major commercial areas that have a lot of flat roofs and not a lot of cover, not a lot of shadow, which is something that you need for photovoltaic. In the red region up in the corner, you may not be able to see, but maybe you can see on the paper, the high column of gray effectively tells you what the ground cover, the land use there, is urban or developed, is the technical term. And you can see the tree cover is very low. And it's colored red there to show that there is a lot of potential to use energy there. The people that live there and the businesses there are spending more money for reasons outside of this ordinance that perhaps we could help them out. And you can see, I can't see because of the little map thing very well, but in the loop region right up the street, there is a considerable amount of urban cover, which we don't need a graph to see because we can look out the window. Lots of flat areas that solar would do very well on. The ordinance itself isn't currently about retrofitting or going back and requesting the solar analysis on buildings that are already in existence. But that's something that we may want to think of down the line. So why should we consider this ordinance? Well, it demonstrates by having developers and folks that are interested in building new buildings and facilities here, by doing an analysis, we can convey to them, or maybe they didn't even have it on their radar, of the importance of something like this. There is money to be saved in rooftop solar. Also, it would help University collect data in regards to how we go about use energy. It provides an opportunity for energy buyback on new solar roofs. So there is money to be saved and eventually money to be made in solar projects. And this would be a step in that direction. Again, this is not requiring anybody to actually do any physical work here. So that doesn't require the cost associated with installing solar panels. It makes University City look good and continues to put us in a position where we are on the forefront or close to the lead in this type of action. And there is really a low risk of developers pulling out of various things, because when it comes down to it, getting a solar energy audit According to Grow Solar, I talked to them last week, it's free. At most, they said they would charge for a detailed analysis was $1,750. And in general, when I talked to Debbie said, just give us an address and we'll do it for free of charge. So if we're asking developers and people interested in building to do something like this, there's a lot of benefits and there doesn't seem to be a lot of costs. I don't know how much it costs to put in the Costco facility there, but I would imagine that even $1,700 would be a spit in the ocean of what they spent. Don't quote me on that. And hopefully I'm not being recorded, but like, if it's free, then that's, you know, you can't complain about that. To put us sort of where, what are everybody else doing around here? St. Louis City in 2020 passed a ordinance or a law that is past what we're suggesting, where they said new construction actually needs to be what's called solar ready, which means the conduits and stuff need to go in any sort of new construction, whether there's panels there or not. So if they do buy panels, they can like plug and play. Clayton recently went through, which is almost sort of bureaucratic shuffling around, in order to facilitate folks that were interested in putting in more solar panels. We see Collinsville over there had something about putting in some native plants around arrays. I just wanted to put that in there to let you know, we really could put our name as the fourth city in the region as to doing something. Lee Summit's on the other side of the state, so they don't count. So we have a chance here to do something that has a big payback without a lot of cost. And I think that that's something worth considering. Are there questions, concerns, worries, problems, compliments?
Are there questions of Mr. Smalls? Mr. McMahon?
I just want to make sure so it's an ordinance to have the assessments done so that one, the developer can chew on that themselves and decide if they want to do it on their own, no ordinance requiring them to. Two, gives you folks some data so that if we're moving in a certain direction, now you have data to say, maybe we'd have an ordinance later down the road that says you need to do something, making your roofs ready, something, another step.
Yeah. So this would be the first sort of baby step along a route of potentially something more. Like I said, there's a lot of savings that could be made. There's a lot of potential here. And I think that, you know, requiring something like, hey, we need you to put in a $45,000 solar array, if you're going to build here, they're going to go somewhere else. And we don't want to scare anybody away. So doing something that is free or cheap, relatively speaking, would potentially tell the owners of the building or the developers, like, well, why don't we put up solar panels there? Because in 5 years, we'll start to like save money on this building, or it'll be worth more when we want to sell it to somebody else or rent it out or whatever. There are also potentials for like group purchases and renewable energy credits. There's a lot of ways that money can be made here that involve, not the least of which, sort of the city deciding that they wanted to rent out rent out the roof and put panels up themselves, or citizens could organize. There's ways to go about doing that, where we could pool our money together and rent out the roof of Costco so that we could make money that way as well. And if, developer, if we have the record of like, we can put, 15 kilowatts of solar panels here, that may be just what the five of us are looking for. So there's a lot of potentials here, but knowing what's there and what we could do is a starting point. And that's what I think we're aiming for.
And is the 5,000 square foot number, is that a number was selected because that's kind of a tipping point of what's effective? Or
we went back and forth a lot as to what the size would be. And we felt that we didn't want something so small that would discourage somebody from wanting to develop something, but it would also encompass a lot of the type of commercial buildings we have here. There's lots of smaller, now we've got a Costco and stuff going in over there, but like most of the commercial buildings here are relatively small, and this would encompass them. I had to look this up just to get my mind wrapped around what 5,000 square foot is. And the old, I guess it's the old Mad Crab building right there on Olive is 6,000 square foot. So we're looking at a space about that size and bigger of stuff going in to get a report and give it to us for that.
And that's the other, I wanted to make sure I was, is the footprint, when it says the footprint, are we talking about the building structure? If we look straight down on the building, it's the exterior walls, or does this include, you know, because the footprint of the markets on Olive is gigantic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it covers Costco to the south side of Olive. So there, I think we need to know what a definition of footprint is, because there's a couple outbuildings that are going to be proposed in an ordinance coming up on our next agenda. And one of the buildings is 80 by 60 feet, 60.7 feet, which is just under 5,000. Mm-hmm. That building wouldn't do this, but it's inside that development. So, and then we get into the issue of development. I think some definitions need to be made, because if the, what do we mean by development? Markets on Olive and they all are required? Or what if the owner, now Deerberg's owns that, and do they sell part of it and somebody else develops that one 4,000 building? Well, now we've missed that. So there's a lot of moving parts. And then I think we need to think about enforcement. Is this part of the building permitting process so that only certain folks have to do this and it's part of their permit and we have to redo that? So I think there's some moving parts in here that we need to think about. Not that this isn't, because yeah. I think what you want to do is capture as many buildings as you can so mm-hmm. that you get good data and you convince people to move in a certain direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was a lot, but those are some of the things I looked at when I was reading these couple sentences.
Thank you. I think all of that needs to be taken into account. All those little moving parts that you mentioned. We've talked about some, but talking about it is not sufficient in terms of legal ordinances. So we'll have to talk about it some more.
And I want to thank you for your presentation. And those are just comments. They're not in any way saying I disagree with what you're trying to do here at all. So
I'm a teacher. I'm just glad you guys stayed awake and off your phones, you know, so that's all good. I appreciate it.
We are running close on time, Mr. Fuller.
I'll make it quick. So and thank you for doing this. I think this is well needed. I'm questioning, like, would you restrict this to new buildings, to the building only, because some states have their parking facilities, like, I'm not saying Schnucks, perhaps, but where you would park at Schnucks, and you see this in Texas and Florida, where they have parking awnings, shade for your car, but it's a solar panel that's generating. So there's all sorts of ways we can go with this.
Right. I think we were restricting ourselves to just rooftop stuff here. I would be all for what you just mentioned.
And what you're proposing here is an ordinance that they just look at the footprint and the cost savings that they might have.
Mm-hmm.
Would that just be for that building, or could it be shared with the cities? Where's the savings there is what my question
So I did a real quick analysis of this just on my own on everyone's favorite old Seafood City spot today.
Sure.
And there is, I looked at the entire footprint of the building. If you were, and I'd crunch some numbers and stuff like that of only the rooftops, and there's places you can go online to type in your address and it would tell you. It spit out, and I did some calculations, you could produce about 1.5 megawatts of power in a field and still only use about 2/3 or 3/4 of the rooftop. And it's, you know, it measures just the square foot viewing from above. So if it's multi floors, I don't think it takes that into account. And I'm not sure what our final result under that discussion was. We're limiting ourselves just almost solar panels that would be flat on a flat surface, not parking lots and things like that, which is something we could certainly explore. And I would love to.
Thank you. I don't want to take this further, but encourage us. Yes, let's do this.
Sure.
Thank you.
I do think if this is to move forward, I think probably one of the first exercises would actually be maybe for the working group to go through some, the working group of the directors here to go through some of the issues that would need to be checked off before John were to create any type of ordinance. So there's definitely a time lag involved here to go through some of these things and to cross our T's and dot our I's. I'm assuming there's not legislation out here that is our, that you can find from any place else that has something similar to this. And if there is, that would help probably move this along a little bit. If not, then we would start from scratch.
Yeah. I mean, we could certainly, a lot of it is the solar ready, like the ordinance and stuff that I found nationwide is the new construction must be plug and play with solar panels. And that's not what we're suggesting, but I think we could probably look at aspects of that to sort of massage out what it is that we are trying to do.
We appreciate and respect all that you folks have done. We thank you for taking the time and to join us this evening. All right. And hopefully Gregory and staff will move forward and run some of the traps. Thank you very much for coming this evening. The study session will now close. Give us a couple of minutes and we will move into the open session.